Spread love. Doom, doom, doom. Spread love.
Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to POV with Kristen Gilmore, where I interview interesting people that you and I are getting to know together. This podcast was created to enlighten, enrich, and inform. The basis is to spread love and extend God's grace to yourself and others. Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another episode of POV with Kristen Gilmore. I'm so happy to have you join me today. Today, I am interviewing one of the most beautiful spirits I've ever met. He lights up a room with his smile. He finds positivity in rainy days. He is a person who leans on others, but also knows how to be a supportive strength in the need for those he knows and doesn't know. I am excited to introduce you to Mr. Henry. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, you were recommended to me by my mom, and my mom is a great judge of character. I asked her, I said, Mama, do you know anybody who you would say is inspirational? Do you know anyone who is interesting and or fascinating? And she said, I do. And here we are.
Well, based on our conversations between your mom and myself, I would never get that impression. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Well, one thing my mother is a straight shooter, okay?
Yeah, that is definitely the case. But in either case, I am very, very honored. The life that I have led is filled with tragedy and triumphs. Most of the tragedy is self-imposed. I was born with a self-destructive nature, and I have spent a lifetime looking for ways to overcome that. And in my search for a better life for myself and understanding of why I did the things I did and what motivated me, I've come to a place in my life where the experience that I've obtained, I'm able to share with other people. So hopefully they will have a less painful path.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, oftentimes we tend to dress up the pig with lipstick and in hopes that no one notices that it's a pig. And what I mean by that is I myself sometimes have really rough days. I've had rough months, challenging years, and no one knew it. I just suffered in silence. And it wasn't until I came out on the other side that I was able to share my challenges and my struggles, because I had to prove to myself that I could make it through. Mr. Henry, you told us a little bit about yourself there, but what childhood experiences do you feel molded you?
Well, I was raised in the 60s in Birmingham, Alabama, which was a very turbulent time. Birmingham was known as Bombingham. It was the epicenter of the civil rights movement. But my particular neighborhood, you know, growing up, it was basically a normal neighborhood, as far as I could tell. I mean, I had, back at that time, you know, our biggest toy was outdoors. And I spent my youth just roaming, you know, for miles around adjacent neighborhoods. I would typically leave, you know, in the summer, like early in the morning, and then come home tonight. I don't think that that's the experience that most kids have nowadays with the things that's going on. But in my youth, I was brought up in the Baptist church. You know, typical of the time, I was raised as a Christian. But at an early age, I thought that something was not quite right with me. Later in life, I would find out that I was born with the disease of addiction that manifests itself in alcoholism later. But the disease of addiction actually is more just in substance abuse. It's a social disorder. And my first addiction was actually lying, hiding the truth from my parents. My father was an alcoholic, and a lot of things I learned from him that was not positive, you still observe from your parents. These are lessons you learn whether you want to or not. I can remember thinking, well, my dad is teaching me how not to be a man. But, and I can remember like certain instances, like when I was in second grade, if it was something I really didn't understand, instead of seeking help, because of the way my home was, I would write really small and, with the mind of a second grader, in the hopes that nobody would notice, because I didn't know the answer, things like that. So that was my introduction actually to my social surroundings and how I fit into it.
Well, when did you realize that you were an overcomer?
Not until, well, I was born with that defect, but I also had other attributes. A lot of things came easily to me. I grasped history really easily. The concept of society, it kind of made sense in my head. I don't have a head for math, but I kind of, went through school pretty easily. That was not my issue. My issue was myself. And it manifested itself in different ways. I didn't have a relationship with my father at all. He was what some people would call a functioning alcoholic. Now, he was a chef. And now, this was back in the 70s, okay, in Birmingham. And he was a black chef. And, he would be on the local news. The man could cook, but he was a workaholic and an alcoholic. So I never saw him. And I never had a conversation with him. And the conversations I could remember when I was in high school, I tried out for the basketball team. I was so proud. I remember bringing my uniform home and hanging it on the door. I couldn't wait for my dad to get home so he could see it. And he comes home, he looks at the uniform, and he goes, you'll never play. So that was the relationship I had with my dad. And he was abusive to my mom. Unfortunately, I looked a lot. I mean, a lot like my dad. And that affected my relationship with my mom. I didn't realize this till later in life. So I felt alone. I felt I didn't fit in. I was on the basketball team. I was president of the choir, had a lot of friends, but I never thought I fit in. And I still suffer from, I say suffer from that. I don't know if I suffer from it or not. Most of the time I prefer to be alone, but I think that's where it came from.
Mr. Henry, that's some deep stuff.
Well, it was the beginning of my journey. And as I said, I joined the Army out of high school, stayed there for 3 years. I married my high school sweetheart. God blessed me. Now, this is really one of the first things to me that are contradictory. I have an outgoing personality and I met friends easily. But I preferred not to be in a crowd. So I ended up marrying my high school sweetheart. We got married. I was discharged from the Army in Seattle, well, in Tacoma, Washington, Fort Lewis. And I moved to Seattle, which was maybe 30 miles up the road. And I got into condominium business, found out that I had a gift for selling. So my wife at the time, before I was discharged, she moved to Atlanta not Atlanta, I'm sorry, to Los Angeles and started working with Hughes Aircraft. And I was selling condominiums for a company that was based in Honolulu. And I was this 20-year-old black kid in Seattle selling condominiums. And I was, at the time, I was making like $1,500 a week, which was a whole lot of money. And I was going to Lake Tahoe, and my wife called me and said, "Well, are you coming to Los Angeles? I got a place." And I was like, nah. which was the first really, really big mistake of my life. Because until this day, she is among my best friends. She remarried and have three kids, and we kind of grew up together. We taught each other about sex, and we taught each other about life. And she was my closest friend, and really the only person I felt comfortable with. And I mean, I spent more time with her than I did at my house. Her mother was like a second mother to me. And but anyway, I digress. Back to Seattle. So I'm selling condominiums, and one day I come in the office, and my boss, he was an Italian guy. Lowest, you know, if you're pitching an Italian guy with a chain around his neck and listening to Neil Diamond, which was our theme song in the office. But anyway, I come in the office and I find this vial on my desk, and I'm like, "What is this?" And he said, "Try it." It turns out to be cocaine. So for the next 2 years, basically, I made money, closed bars down, and, you know, snorted cocaine. And that was the start of my journey in substance abuse. Didn't really like cocaine, but the alcohol, boy, that did something to me. So I gravitated to it, and it became a real issue in my life. I would go, I mean, it's a long story, and we only have a few minutes. But basically, I started working for Bell South, and I worked for Bell South and AT&T and T-Mobile, on and off throughout my life. I had a gift for communicating ideas, so I did well in sales, but I was not a good employee. I would, you know, hungover or, you know, just all the effects of alcoholism. I prided myself on not drinking, you know, at work, but and that lasted basically for like 30 years. So I was described at what was a functioning alcoholic. I don't think there's anything like a functional alcoholic, but I was able to keep a job, and that was the story of my life. I would meet someone, start a relationship, but my anger and my resentment, it grew with inside of me over the years till a point where in 1987, I was working for Bell South in Birmingham. I decided to go get help. And I was introduced to AA, and it changed my life. I would like to say that I remained sober for the rest of my life. I didn't. I did remain sober for maybe 23 years. But the thing was, I never treated my illness, the underlying cause of alcoholism, the dishonesty, and the pain. So in a sense, I was still a dressed up garbage can with a lot of stuff inside of me, trash. But to the outside world, they saw none of that. Some did. Some that got close to me saw it. But that was my journey. That's when my life began to turn around, when I started doing a inventory of myself. And the more I did an inventory of myself, the more the rest of the world started making sense to me. Being dishonest is something that I work on to this day. Believe me, I am a lot better than where I was. And I thank God for that every day. You know, it's people talk about blessing, but it's a blessing not having to remember, you know, what you said the day before so you don't have to straighten it up. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Because guess what? We're all sinners and we're all liars to a certain extent.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
no man is
So,
better than the other. We can relate to that. I can.
yeah. And, you know, so that was really my journey. And I've started to really study psychology and sociology. And now I'm a student in school. And yes, at my age. And it's been wonderful.
I'm so
You
proud
know,
of you. You know, the gift of you is that you did an inventory of yourself. You know, and you, like you said, when suddenly you were like, I'm going to go to AA, the most powerful thing you said to me was that you never treated the illness. And therapy is such a big deal. Did therapy have anything to do with helping you heal?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me clarify. There's a difference between being sober and recovery. There's an old term, dry drunk. And basically, what that describes is someone who's not feeding their addiction with alcohol or substance, but are still living a dishonest life or still hiding, trying to hide their defects through dishonesty. I think that's a better way to put it. And it took my life really changed when I realized that everyone have defects and that I wasn't the only one. You know, I went through my early part of my life that everyone else was perfect and I was the only one that was screwed up. And I felt like I was in a play, that I was an actor in an odyssey, that it wasn't real. And I had to treat that. And I don't know how to explain it, but the greatest gift God gave to me was reality. And once I started to accept reality for what it was, it changed my life.
I hope you know the power of the words you're speaking. What you're saying is forcing me to look internally and to see what I can do to be a better human. What challenges I cover up or I need to admit to or have a deep conversation with myself so I can be a better me. That is exactly what truth does. It makes people take an internal evaluation of how you can better assess, better fix yourself. So thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
I have a question. What do you joy? What brings you joy?
Joy to me is different from happiness. I am not always happy, but I do have a joy. I think Paul said it best. I have learned to be content. And I was counseling a recovering addict once. And I was mentioning to him the same thing that, hey, I'm content in my life. And he asked me, he said, are you happy that you went through the things that you went through so you can be of service to God? And I was like, are you nuts? I would much rather have had a easier path, but that wasn't my path. But I have learned to be content with the path that God has chosen to me. And my morning prayer, start my day, is always, God, let me live in your will so someone can see thy power in me and understand you better in their life.
That's beautiful. I have one last question for you, Mr. Henry.
Sure.
If there was one thing you'd want people to take away from meeting you, what would that be?
It's never too late.
I love that you already know what it is. It's never too late. What a beautiful gift you are. What a beautiful gift to this world you are. I am so grateful that God chose you to be a vessel for others, to be a mentor for people who are on the road of betterness, as well as while you travel down that road for yourself. You are more honest than many of us could ever be to ourselves, and that is what keeps us stuck. But you, sir, will not be. You will not be.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Mr. Henry, I want to give you what I give all of my guests, and yours is especially special, and it is a hand clap. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. And God bless you for what you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, you all, if you took anything away from this, I hope that you take it's never too late. And all emotions are valid, y'all. If anything, Mr. Henry has a survivor spirit, a determined gift, and the power to be honest and stand in his truth. I pray I too one day can be that as well. I love y'all. Thank you for listening. Till next time, bye. Thank you for joining us for another episode of POV with Kristen Gilmore. See you next time. Bye. Ha. Ooh. Ha.